We're going to be talking about a very critical area. I believe it's essential to our walk with God, and that is, I want to talk with you about seeking after God. See, the Bible is filled with instructions, promises, guidance, as well as warnings as it pertains to how we live our life and how we seek after God. We're all seeking something, and the Bible's very clear that we need to aim high and that our focus needs to be Christ. And so we're going to look at this very important area because perhaps more right now than ever before, our attention could easily be divided. We could easily become discouraged or just fall into depression with all that's going on. And so never before has it been important for you and I to be seeking after God, no matter where you are in your journey with Him. So the Bible talks about this repeatedly. Here's just a few verses. You might want to take notice of these. 1 Chronicles 16:11, a great verse to commit to memory. Why don't we say this verse together aloud? Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. And so there's this idea in the Bible, this guidance that we're given, that we want to be regular as it pertains to seeking after God. Why? Because there's blessings that are associated with it. Look what it says in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the second part of the verse. Let's say it together aloud. He rewards those who seek Him. Now, God stands at the ready to bless you and I as we make the effort, as we put forth the commitment to be faithful in seeking after Him. Now, usually when you talk about seeking after God, we think about it in the sense that's more of before you know God and before you come to Christ, you go through things in your life and nothing else works. And so, you try option, Z, you try God. That's not what seeking after God is. Seeking after God has to do with your relationship with Him. And that is why it is important. And so we have a goal for today's message, and I want you to take notice of it. It's in your notes as well. And our goal is that we want to seek God in an honorable and helpful way. Can we say that one together? Seek God in an honorable and helpful way. And see, it's possible to seek God in a selfish way, and obviously that's dishonoring to Him, and that doesn't help you and I. Also, it's possible to seek God, as some do, in a very superstitious way. Like, you know what? I better do this, or God's going to hit me with lightning, or God's going to send me a secret bill from the IRS 2 months later, or I better do this, or I better do that, or else. And God doesn't play manipulation games with you and I, and sometimes we could seek God with superstition. Sometimes we could seek God with a superficial heart, and we could put on a facade. Meanwhile, we really don't believe the things we're saying, and we're really not as committed as we pretend to be. Obviously, both of those scenarios is not what God wants for you and for me. And so then, how do we seek after God? How does that work? Well, I want to direct your attention to Amos chapter 5. And being that we're having the bake sale, why not talk about famous Amos, okay? No, it's not famous Amos, okay? But Amos, the minor prophet, found in the Old Testament. Amos comes from a village by the name of Tokia, we find out. That's approximately 10 miles south of Jerusalem. He was a Judean prophet who was to deliver a message primarily to the northern tribes of Israel. Now, contextually speaking, politically, as he was doing his ministry, the nation was experiencing a lot of peace under the kingship of Jeroboam II. Like his father Joaz, he significantly increased the security and the borders of the northern tribes of Israel and kept their enemies at bay, particularly Assyria, who was a major menace. But you might recall, during the times of Jonah, Nineveh repented, and that protected the people of God from the attacks of the Assyrians. And when you begin to study the scriptures, you see that Amos is a contemporary of Jonah, Hosea, and Isaiah. Now then, why did God bring him to preach? Why did God bring him to give this message? And how does that message affect us today? Well, there were two primary reasons, and they fall into our passage in seeking God today. First of all, the people of Israel, they had this habit of having an absence of true worship, meaning they were disingenuous in how they were coming to God. In their seeking of God, it was fake, it was fraudulent. Oh, they might have thought some of it was real, but it wasn't, because God sees the heart. The second reason was that there was a lack of justice in the land, in the courts, at the gate in Israel. That people, and that is a byproduct, when you don't seek God with the full heart, it's only a matter of time until you don't treat people right on every level, especially the highest levels of the land, and we see that here. Now, in the midst of all of this, Amos is going to give a message to say, you got to turn it around, because if not, God's judgment is going to come. There's consequences when you don't do things God's way. But in the midst of all of that, he gives a promise that if you seek God this way, you could guarantee his covering. And I think that's comforting for you and I to know right now, especially with all that's going on around us, that our primary responsibility is to seek God. And we're going to see that that is the clear picture here in famous Amos chapter 5, okay? So turn with me there to Amos chapter 5, and we're going to read several verses here that have to do with seeking God. In fact, you're going to see in chapter 5, God is going to give a message through Amos about seeking him three different times. So I would say that's kind of important here. And really, chapter 5 holds the whole book together. It captures the purpose of the book. And so let's start off here, and we'll glean some insights from really even the opening word of this first verse. But Amos chapter 5, starting in verse 1, this is what we read. Hear this word that I take up over you in lamentation, O house of Israel. Now, let's stop right there. One of the primary ways, the fundamental ways you seek God is found in this first word here, hear. We got to be able to hear what God is saying. That if there's going to be any type of transformation, any type of truth, any type of gains in our spiritual life, if we're truly going to seek after God in the way that he wills for us to, we have to hear God. And this is on display right here. It says, hear this word that I take up against you in lamentation. Now, what does that mean? Well, this is kind of like a funeral song that he's given. It's something to be said here, that what he's communicating is that this judgment is going to come upon you if you don't do this. And so it's going to mean your funeral. You're not going to get up from this. And it goes on to say this now in verse 2. Fallen no more to rise is the virgin Israel, forsaken on her land, with none to raise her up. Verse 3, for thus says the Lord God, the city that went out 1,000 shall have 100 left, and that which went out 100 shall have 10 left to the house of Israel. Verse 4, for thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and live. Now let's pause right there. What is God talking about? He's saying, and he's taking round numbers here, but I don't care how big your army is, you can have an army of 1,000, and it could easily be reduced to 100, and that 100 obviously will be the people that are seeking God, and the other 900, they're doing life their own way. They're leaving themselves vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy, particularly, again, the Assyrians. And then you can have 100, and there'll be 10 left. I think there's also some hope found in that, is that you could be in the midst of it all, but God sees who's being faithful. He sees who's seeking after him, even when others around you might be unfaithful. Keep that in mind. And then that's the counsel here. For thus says the Lord to the house of Israel, seek me and live. And so this is before us. Now, we're going to arrive at an application here with verse 5, and we'll break it down. And this is what God says. But do not seek Bethel, and do not enter into Gilgal or cross over to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into exile, and Bethel shall come to nothing. Now, what is God saying here? Well, let's understand these three places. Bethel was where the chief sanctuary was, where everybody worshiped. And so essentially God is saying, don't go run into the sanctuary, because when you go into the sanctuary to have what we would call church, you don't really mean it. Your hearts are not really there. That I so much as I hate how you're worshiping because you're doing it in a way that's just show. It's just pretense. You really don't mean what you're saying and what you're doing. And since I see the heart, I'm saying if you're going to seek me, don't go run to the sanctuary. You got to get your heart right. You got to make sure that you're genuine in your worship. I don't care about your rituals. I don't care about your sacrifices. I don't care about how good you think your music may be. None of that matters if your heart is not genuine with me. That is what God is saying right now. And so Bethel represents the chief sanctuary. Then what about Gilgal? Well, to understand Gilgal, think about when Israel first entered the promised land, and it was around the area, this area of Gilgal, and they marked it with stones, and that became a memorial. And we have memorials today here on Staten Island and New York and in the nation, certain memorials where you go to that mark a significant event. And so what God was saying here was, don't even go to the monuments that you've put there, the stones that you've put there celebrating coming into the land, because you don't even have a thankful heart. Your worship is insincere. You don't have a heart of gratitude. And then he talks about Beersheba. Now, what is Beersheba? Well, Beersheba was a place where a lot of covenants were made when you study the Old Testament. What comes to mind is Genesis 21 with the covenant with Abimelech. And so that was a place of covenant. And the word covenant means a promise. I got to do a wedding later today after my boys' games, okay? And you come and you're exchanging vows. That's the ultimate covenant that's made. Well, God's made covenants to you and I. And he said that don't even go there where you would remember the covenants that have been made because you don't even honor the promises I've made. Why? Because there was an insincerity. So I think an application emerges that you're going to want to jot down that's extremely important, because if you want to have a vibrant connection with God, now I'm not talking about a mystical walk with God. You know, some people go, oh, I feel it. I feel this. I feel that. Don't go by your feelings. Look to what the word of God says. That'll produce a strong faith that will stand the test of time, because a strong faith lives it out, actually. Okay. And so here it is. This is foundational, I think, for every believer. Don't miss this. Here it is. Seek God by coming with sincerity. Can you say that with me? Seek God by coming with sincerity. Oh, that's a big one, right? How about in every relationship we have? We want people to be sincere. Did not Jesus teach on this when it came to fasting and prayer and giving in the Sermon on the Mount? His very first public sermon, what did he have to do? He had to talk about hypocrisy. The word hypocrisy is one that Jesus introduces here in the New Testament, and it means to wear a mask. It means that you're somebody else. And so he said, you know what? When you do your giving, when you do your praying, when you do your fasting, you're not doing it to get a pat on the back. You got to love people like that. Hey, how you doing? Oh, I just got off a fast. Or I was just praying. We don't need to know that. That's between you and God. Stop tipping your hand all the time and waiting for people to go, oh, wow, you're the most spiritual person I know. Last time I checked, we sing the old hymn, How Great Thou Art, not How Great We Are. And so if that's our mentality, you could do it. You have free will, but don't think you're going to be seeking God the way that he has willed for you to seek him. And you might be missing out on a strong relationship with God in the process. Oh, you might think you're the greatest Christian on the planet. You might think that people got to sit around and worship you. But the only person you're kidding is yourself. Seek God with sincerity. It is without question the foundation for a healthy, strong relationship with God. You can't seek God properly without it. And the rest of the Bible is in concert with this understanding. Look what it says in Psalm 119, verse 2, from the Christian Standard Bible. Why don't we say this together aloud? Happy are those who keep his decrees and seek him with all their hearts. With all their hearts, not half-hearted, because you don't want to be counterfeit. Speaking of which, I was doing some research, and wouldn't you know, even in this age of digital currency, there is approximately $70 million worth of counterfeit bills in circulation right now. Does anybody have any today? No, I'm just kidding, okay? Well, hopefully not. I heard about a guy recently that was arrested in Sarasota, Florida. he was passing around counterfeit bills and for buying big stuff. And then he got greedy, as most thieves do, and he started buying milk and bread and donuts and all those other things, little things. And then he finally got nabbed, and they traced it all the way to his apartment, I mean his house, and downstairs he had a whole little printing press going on. And, you know, the moral of the story is, if you're putting counterfeit bills out, eventually it seems that everybody eventually gets caught because they get greedy. And they really make it about themselves. And so I think the same thing is true with our faith. If we're going to be counterfeit with our faith, eventually it catches up with us. You can't outrun that. And your reputation precedes you. And it's going to be hard for people to trust you. It's going to be hard for God. You know, we talk, what are we talking? We could say it every week, by the way. Trust God, trust God. That could be in every message and we'd be correct. In fact, we could say that every week. That could be the only message, and that's what we need to hear, because it's that essential. So the question's not about, can we trust God? I think the question is, as I've told you before, can God trust us? And I really think that's a good way to flip the script there, and God could trust us if we're willing to be sincere. And I think when you're sincere, other, and then even our relationships with each other, that's a very attractive quality. But when you're not sincere, that's like bad breath on steroids, okay? When you're not sincere. Disingenuous people draw the judgment of God and they forfeit their blessings. And so we want to keep that in mind. Now, Jeremiah the prophet also said it this way. Look what it says in Jeremiah 20:13. Can we say this verse together aloud? You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So there again, that all-encompassing mindset. I can't have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. I can't be, you know, I'm gonna flirt with evil. No, it doesn't work that way. That if I'm gonna seek after God, I gotta have it across, not perfect, but sincere. Be real, be genuine. And it goes to say, again, the first word of this passage is here. And if you want to be authentic, you got to have your nose in the Word of God. And the more your nose is in the Word of God, no matter how big or small your nose is, by the way, the more your nose is in the Word of God, the more you'll be able to smell out what's sincere and what's not. And again, that will improve your witness tremendously for Christ and your reputation. But again, more importantly than that, it will help you to honor God, and it will, without question, improve your relationship with God. Just be real and sincere. Be you. Be you with God. You know, share your heart with God. You don't got to put on a facade. See, that's what was happening here. Again, the primary reason that he wrote the book of Amos was to really challenge people to get out of that superficial mindset with their worship. If you actually read on verse 21 in the same chapter, God says, I hate your festivals. I hate your sacrifices. He talks about that in the book of Isaiah. You got your hands raised up. What is it for? And you see that with different expressions of Christianity today, that people are more going for a show than they are for a savior. And that's a problem. And usually what happens when we come to church just to be entertained, just to get our ears tickled. Now, I know this doesn't sell much. This isn't going to sell books. I understand that. But we're not here to do that. We're here to remind each and every one of us, including myself, that this is how we're to seek God. When we come for those reasons, we'll leave empty. But when we come to seek God with the whole heart, our cup will overflow every time. And this is what Amos is communicating here, as God is using him. And I believe, you know, these centuries later, how relevant is it? When you think about all the calamity, all the dysfunction, the confusion that's going on all around us, God, what's going to happen? And God is saying, just be faithful, not to keep being, keep seeking my throne, keep seeking my face. That is what God has for us. And so we want to seek God by coming with sincerity. Write this second principle down. Seek God by having reverence. Can you say that with me? Seek God by having reverence. Now, how many of you, you know, you grew up maybe fearing your mother or your father if you did something wrong, or grandparent? Anybody? Oh boy, watch out. I told you already, my mother had some arm. She could hit you from far out with something, okay? Sorry, Mom, I know you're watching, okay? But hey, that kept me in line. That kept me in line, right? What is that? Does that mean your mother doesn't love you, or your grandfather don't love you, or your uncle don't love you? If no, you could actually reverse that and say, if somebody lets you do whatever you want, that means they don't care about you. Okay, you need people in your life who are gonna, you know, pull you on the collar if you're going the wrong way. You need that. And if you fear them, it's not unhealthy. That's called a healthy fear. It's a good thing. Today, our crazy government, they want to control your kids, not the parents. Now, those are the last people you need to let control your kids, by the way. We see that, and that's very clear. It doesn't take a sociology degree to see that, okay? So it's important that we have a healthy fear, because a healthy fear is what? A reverence. It's a deep form of respect. And if we don't have that for God, and we treat God like this vending machine, God, what could I get out of you? See, that's a lot of theology today. God, what could you do for me? That's why I'm here. That's why I'm connected. God, what could you do for me? And if that is the extent of your relationship with God, you're settling for crumbs when God has a banquet table for you, okay? As I've been saying over the last couple of weeks, it's not about what God could do for you, what God does. It's more about who God is. And we want to seek God by having this reverence, this deep respect. Listen to what it says here in Amos 5:6. Can we say this verse together? Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out fire in the house of Joseph and devour it with none to quench it for Bethel. Now, you might want to circle that phrase there. Seek the Lord and live. That's the second time we've seen that. I think we've got to pay attention to that. Seek him and live. It's that serious, because there are consequences to stupidity. There are consequences when we walk away from God. There's consequences when we're faking it. You know, some people say, you know, fake it to make it. Well, not with God. And so there's consequences to that. And those same enemies that have been kept at bay, the Assyrians, again, who are a menace to the people of Israel, well, guess what? They're no longer going to be subdued, and they could quite possibly bring an attack, and they will. And so that's what it says here, that is going to be a fire that comes out on the house of Joseph. Now, who's the house of Joseph? That is an affectionate way in the Old Testament of referring to the Israelites who are faithful in their belief, because it looks back to the end of the book of Genesis with Joseph, who was faithful to God and elevated to basically being the prime minister of Egypt. And then, you know, Joseph right before Moses. And so the remnant of Joseph speaks of those who, when Moses hops on the scene, these, now the Jews are in captivity. They're in Egyptian bondage, if you will, slavery, but they're still faithful to God. They were known as ultimately the remnant of Joseph. And that name follows them as you study Joshua and on. And so there's going to be judgment that comes even to the remnant of Joseph, who has fallen away, who have become irreverent in their worship and their practice. And so that's what's being told to us here. And, you know, we got to realize that there's as we're talking about counterfeit, right, for example, there's a lot of counterfeit belief that goes around that produces this irreverence. I heard just the other day that Amazon, I think it was last month or the month before, pulled down over 10 billion listings that had counterfeit merchandise, okay? That's crazy, okay? Even for you shopaholics that have a problem with shopping too much, okay? That's crazy. There's a lot of counterfeit out there, and that counterfeit produces an irreverence to God. And so when you begin to look at all of this, God has called us to seek him with a reverence, with a deep respect for who he is. Now, why is that important? Flip over your notes and take notice of what Psalm 25:14 says. Oh, I love this verse. Why don't we say it together aloud? Friendship with God is reserved for those who reverence him. With them alone, he shares the secrets of his promises. You know, God wants to share beautiful secrets with you and I, the secrets of his promises. The only question is, are we willing to have a healthy fear of God? Now, I don't know how many of you ever been to Yellowstone Park, but I know more so in recent years, they've put up these signs that say, steer clear at least 25 feet of the bison. Now, that's for good reason, because it might be tough to outrun a herd of bison if you see them. Now, what do some people do? They treat the sign as a suggestion. And I heard just this past summer, one man was almost stampeded to death because he tried to test the sign. You know, God has given us signs right here in the Word. Don't test the sign. See this as a loving Heavenly Father who is putting out the message to you, whether it's 25 feet or like the bear, they have 100 feet. And wouldn't you know, people test that too. Don't put God to the test this way. Steer clear of what God says to do. Don't have an irreverence towards Him. And don't look to the world to even tell you this. I heard recently about a professor at Florida Atlantic University. He asked his students to do this assignment, to take out a white piece of paper and to write the name Jesus on it, then to put it on the floor and stamp their feet all over the name of Jesus. Now, blindly, many of the students participated in the project. A few backed off, but then jumped in. But one student, Ryan Rotella, said, "No, I'm not doing that. That's offensive. That's irreverent." He was thrown out of class. He wound up having to go before the discipline board, and he put his case there, and they actually ruled in his favor and wrote up the professor saying that it was a lack of respect for somebody's belief. Now, somebody's belief, but again, not God. We have a problem here in this country that has been blessed because of God, of disrespecting God. And we see that time and time again. We have a blessing of a past, not a perfect past, but we've been blessed as a nation to get as far as we have because of God. And if we're gonna have a future, it's because of God. And we must remember that. So when people try to go to great lengths to pass legislation to take God out of the public sector, the public schools, out of anthems, out of creeds, that is coming from the pits of hell. Because a nation that forgets God is a nation that will no longer be a nation. And so we as Americans who have been blessed with this freedom, thank God for the men and women who have fought to preserve our freedom and our way of life, let their sacrifices not be in vain by upholding these principles of which our country was founded upon. It is very much so American to say, "God bless you." And we should never forget that. No matter who tries to come down the pike to poison kids' minds, to try to change laws, they could do it all they want, but no one will ever take God off His throne. And we must take inventory, especially now, of our faith and say, "I want to be committed to God. I want to be reverent to Him." And that is what Amos was saying here in chapter 5. This is a matter of drawing a line in the sand. Where do you stand? Are you going to be so selfish that your worship is all about you? You got to draw a line in the sand. And then are you going to be so selfish that you're going to tempt God, that you're going to disobey that sign that says, "Bison, steer clear 25 feet? Do you want to go under the feet of sin? Do you want life to stampede over you? You got to draw a line. Seek God and live. And you know what? I'll take that over the world's version of security any day of the week. See, we're living in times right now where we need to be very clear on where we stand. Let it be said of us that we're seeking after God with a whole heart, that we're not insincere, and we want to be reverent to God. Why? Because He's worthy not only of our praise, He's worthy of our obedience. Now, this doesn't sell. People don't want to hear about obedience, but obedience is so very necessary in our following of God. Don't go by your feelings. You don't want to do what feels right. You want to do what God said is right. And I make you this promise, you will never regret seeking and living for the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek me and live, God says, according to my way. See, when you have this healthy fear of God, the Bible tells us it's going to bring wisdom. It's going to bring knowledge. When you have a reverent view of God, you're going to understand His word better. You're going to have better decision-making power. You're going to have the blessing of God. I like to think when you're obedient to God and you're listening to God the way that He wants, you have this reverence, you're putting a bullseye on your back, on your home, on your business, on your life for God to bless you. Now, I don't know how those blessings will flow. That's up to God. He's sovereign.
But he makes it very clear that he blesses those who seek him. We just read that at the top of the message, Hebrews 11:6. And the line needs to be drawn then. Where do we stand? Well, with that said, let's look at these last couple of verses. Amos 5:14-15 that we'll look at today. One more time, God is going to say through the prophet, who again is not just famous for cookies, right? He's famous for this word here. Seek God and not evil. Can you say that with me? Seek God and not evil. We got to draw the line. We can't be like, well, it's okay. No, call a spade a spade. See, today in our culture, the church, Christians have gotten caught into the fray of arguing and debating everything. God hasn't called you to pick a side. He's called you to join him and be in the umpire and calling balls and strikes, saying what it is and how it is in Christ, how it can be. Seek God and not evil, that you may live so that the Lord, the God of hosts, and that's a reverent term as well, like the God of hosts, the God of angels, the God of the army, okay, will be with you. So God of hosts will be with you. In other words, God has commands of legions of angels, that God is the sovereign king of the universe. That's what that's communicating there. He will be with you. As you've said, verse 15, hate evil, love good, and establish justice in the gate. Now, before we go any further, that was a problem. People were manipulating their positions. Sound familiar? They had these high positions of authority, and they were more concerned about keeping their position than promoting justice. Interestingly enough, the great Martin Luther King Jr.'s inspiration for the I Have a Dream speech and many other speeches comes from Amos chapter 5. Let justice roll down. Well, justice can't roll down if people are laying down on the commands of God. And that was a problem here. And so establish justice in the gate, which is a reference. The gate was a reference to the courts, also a reference to the city being fortified. You need to have justice there. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. So in other words, as you are seeking what God has called you to seek, you could expect, listen to this, you could expect God's grace to be upon you. And I look at this and I go, how beautiful is that? A mention of grace in the Old Testament. God willing to be gracious, even to people who have been unfaithful at times. And as we said last week, God is faithful even when we're unfaithful. And that's what grace is. And so no more ritualistic worship is needed. Stop with the pretense. Be reverent and seek the Lord this way. And so write this last principle down as we close. Seek God by loving what is good and hating what is evil. Can you say that with me? Seek God by loving what is good and hating what is evil. You know, we got to determine what our convictions are. If God calls something sin, if God calls something evil, guess what? We need to as well. Well, this is how I feel. Well, this is what I want to do. Again, you could live that way, but you're settling for a very low, immature way to walk with God. I used to do that. I think everybody used to do that at some point. And then we kind of mature and we grow. We realize, well, we can't just go by how we feel. Again, we got to go by what God says. And there's going to be times when what God says and what we want to do are in contrast, conflict with one another. But when you and I choose to do what God says over what we may think is right, we grow exponentially. Your faith and your walk with God grows significantly. Because essentially, you're saying no to temptation and yes to God. You're getting stronger without you even realizing it. And so we want to seek what is good. What is good is to treat people right. They weren't doing that here in Amos chapter 5. They were hoodwinking people over property. They were falsifying information in the courts. They were doing all types of corrupt things. Again, this has been in every generation. You give man unchecked power, watch out, okay? And so this is happening here. And that's why we need to be a people who seek God.
You know, it was several presidents, including the great Abraham Lincoln, who talked about it'd be impossible to do my job without God. We need leaders like that who understand that we got to bend our knee to God, not compromise to the world. Our ultimate security and defense right now is to seek after God. That needs to be the focus of every believer. Then we'll know justice. Look what it says in Proverbs 28, verse 5. Can we say this verse together aloud? Evil men don't understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand it completely. As you seek God, you'll be the best father you can be, the best mother you could be, the best grandparent you could be, the best child you could be, when you do it God's way, the best employee you could be, the best business owner you could be, the best church member you could be, and on you go, that you are reaching for this, truly the stars. You are reaching in a way. You're growing your potential exponentially when you seek after God. It truly raises all boats in the harbor of your life. It brings you to a place of peace, that there could be chaos all around you, but as you seek God, you have this unbreakable faith and peace. And so seek God by loving what is good and hating what is evil. Because evil is like a wolf. It will devour you. I close with this story that comes from the 19th century from author and writer and pastor as well, Henry Ward Beecher. And he wrote about this woman, this mother, who was in the wild frontier country, and she was washing her clothes in the stream, and her little son was there next to her playing, and then like all boys do, he gets away and he gets doing his own thing, and she can't find him, and she's frantically searching for him. And her greatest horrors were realized. Her son had got into the wooded area in the forest where the wolves are, and a wolf had come and devoured her son. And she found his body torn and laid, and clutched him in her arms and took him back to the rest of the family. See, God is a loving Heavenly Father who cares for us. And listen to this mother's statement here. Oh, how I hate wolves. Why? Understandably so, because she detested them because of what they had done to her beloved child. And oh, why God hates evil, because he knows what evil does to his beloved children. That is why we want to be like God and hate what is evil and seek what is good. You know, as we close, and we've been looking at a number of Old Testament passages, right, the last couple of weeks together. And whenever I study what these prophets say, personally, I'm challenged, and I'll tell you why. Because God is telling these people to do this without the completion of the Bible. And many respond, and they're faithful. Then how much more should you and I be faithful to God, because we serve and pray to a resurrected Christ who sits at the right hand of God the Father in heaven? How much more should we seek God in spirit and in truth because of the cross and the empty tomb? Oh, no, we don't seek God because we want to get a boat or a promotion, or we want good luck, or we don't want to get a ticket from this or that. No, we seek God because of who he is and because of who Christ is and what he has done on the cross and the empty tomb. That is what defines the believer who seeks after God. We're not just seeking God so we can get what we want. We're seeking God for who he is and how powerful his promises are to you and I. And let that be said of you and I, that then we are seeking first his kingdom. Didn't Jesus say that as we close in the Sermon on the Mount? Look what it says in your notes in Matthew 6:33. Let's say this verse together aloud. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Well, all those things. Didn't he talk about it? He said, look at the lilies of the field. Look at the birds. Does not your heavenly Father take care of them?
How much more valuable are you than they? Of course, God's going to meet your needs according to his riches in heaven. Because sometimes we might think, well, if I seek God this way, I'm going to miss out. That's a lie. Well, if I seek God this way, maybe it's not the best path. There's no better path than God's path. You will never regret living your life seeking God's path for you. And so it says, seek first, not last, not second, not just when things are going good. You seek him in the valley. You seek him in the mountain. You seek him while you're climbing the mountain. Seek first his kingdom. His kingdom is obedience to him and his righteousness, which is his goodness. And all these things, what a beautiful promise, will be added unto you. To God be the glory for how he has shown himself to be true when we've sought him in the past. Maybe it was a dark night of the soul. Maybe you even thought about taking your life. Maybe you just felt like giving up, and how God met you when you sought him. Don't forget that. You know, the enemy wants a whisper, give up. The enemy wants a whisper, you don't belong to God. You're not saved. You're this, you're that. Don't believe a word of it. That comes from the pits of hell. You remember what God has said, and you remember the promises that he said specifically to you. And he has promised, he has put his name on the line, that as you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, he will have your back. Let that be said of you and I in these times that are around us right now, that we will seek after God no matter what and leave it all in his hands from there. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, thank you so much for your grace. Just as you were gracious to the remnant of Joseph, we read in these times of Amos the prophet, so you have been from generation to generation to your people. Lord, we don't want to be fraudulent, fake, or fugazi with our commitment. We want to be faithful to you. We want to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and with full confidence, knowing that you will provide for us according to your riches and glory. Lord, we seek first your kingdom, not because of what we want to get out of you, but because of the gospel message that your son Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead. And so we commit our hearts to you once more. We want to build our commitments upon you, our life upon you. We want to seek first your kingdom and leave it all in your hands. We sow these prayers now in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen.